I have heard from people affiliated with universities, including Columbia, that they are concerned about outside groups, specifically NGOs, that are not only explicitly anti-Israel, they don't think Israel has the right to exist, but explicitly were applauding the Hamas attacks on October 7th and are of the ideology that killing any Israeli is justified. And I certainly don't think that's what most of these protesters think. But I'm wondering what, given the concerns that I've heard from university administrators on that subject, how realistic an issue is that?
Well, this is a dicey subject for law enforcement in the U.S., particularly when it comes to investigating First Amendment type protected activity in general. When we talk about protests and demonstrations, and both the FBI, for example, the FBI director recently said, look, we're not monitoring protests. We're obviously poised to assist if there's any type of violence. But same goes for the Department of Homeland Security and other law enforcement agencies. And the reason I bring that up is because of this question about who is organizing this, who is putting this, you know, all together. Again, that is a very fine line for law enforcement to walk when they're trying to determine, well, who are these people? That's one thing. It's much different to launch some investigation trying to determine where their support is coming from, because none of that is inherently illegal in and of itself. It is important to know whether people on campus are students or not, particularly when it comes to the disciplinary part on campus. Again, you want to know who you're going to suspend, whether these are outside agitators. The NYPD, for example, their deputy commissioner recently said that they are seeing what he called outside agitators, quote, the professional protesters that go to events after event, sometimes protesting various sides of different issues. So that is certainly a concern of law enforcement from a perspective of keeping an area safe and secure, particularly once they're on lockdown, but investigating that, very difficult.
Proposal that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly. So we're looking to that, and I'm hopeful that they will make the right decision.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Israel's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Monday, 29 April, year of our Lord, 2024. One of the big tells here is that CNN's coverage, and they're blowing through commercial breaks nonstop for 3 hours. MSNBC, kind of crickets. They understand how this is showing. I got to play through. I got Natalie Winters here. Julie Kelly's going to join us. Blockbuster new come out, Julie. But I got to go this revolt. I'm going to bring Natalie in about her experience. She just left college. But also, who's funding this? But I gotta play Jake Tapper. Can we play the Jake Tapper quote? I can't believe I just heard that. Let's play Jake Tapper again.
I have heard from people affiliated with universities, including Columbia, that they are concerned about outside groups, specifically NGOs, that are not only explicitly anti-Israel. They don't think Israel has the right to exist, but explicitly were applauding the Hamas attacks on October 7th and are of the ideology that killing any Israeli is justified. And I certainly don't think that's what most of these protesters think, but I'm wondering what, given the concerns that I've heard.
Hold on, full stop. I'm going to play that one again. You don't think what? Jake Tapper? What, you're inside the money, you don't think what? No, that's what they all think. Did Jake Tapper ever come out, Natalie Winters, did Jake Tapper ever come out on Charlottesville and say that about the people at Charlottesville? Oh, I don't think they really. In fact, Trump said they're good people on both sides, was basically Jake Tapper saying right there. Jake Tapper saying right there. Did Jake Tapper say that about J6? No, he said they all should go to prison and most of them should throw away the key. This is explosive, and that's why MSNBC doesn't want to touch it. Okay? This is not about Israel or being Jewish. This is about the United States of America. This is the colonizers, the oppressors. That's what this whole deal's about. And Natalie Winters, as you know, because you've been doing some work on this, it's funded by your favorite guy, George Soros, or people around him. Natalie Winters, your thoughts on this? You've just been at one of the great universities in the country. You know how this, the problem's not the kids. They're bad. The attitudes are bad, but they're a symptom of the problem. The problem is in the faculty lounge and in the administration. Natalie Winters.
Yeah, they don't want to touch it because they own it. It's an uncomfortable fact. But these kids are not just useful idiots. The people who you're seeing on these college campuses, let's call them what they are. They are insurgents. These are people who have ties to Hamas, are funded by left-wing groups here in the United States. And Steve, the issue here is that I think for so long, right, we've talked about a cultural revolution going on here in the United States. And for the most part, it's sort of stayed in the Chinese Communist Party style of unrestricted warfare, right? It's been information warfare. I know I live that every single day going to the University of Chicago and the drivel that they teach you in these classrooms. But what you're seeing to some extent is that it's turning kinetic. And when you tell these kids, when you amp them up day after day, that the dichotomy of history should be looked at through the lens of the oppressor versus the oppressed, and that it is on your shoulders to do something to change that, no wonder why these kids are out there protesting. But you're so right. It's not actually about Israel. It's not really even about Palestine. These are the same people who are out there for the Black Lives Matter stuff. They're the same people who are out there for the Charlottesville stuff. Insert whatever crisis it is at the moment. This is about people who fundamentally do not support a world order where America is on top. Make no mistake, the Chinese Communist Party supports these groups. They don't support Israel. They view America as the oppressor. And this is just another issue, one in a quiver of arrows that they've been using to go after the United States. And for people like Jake Tapper in the mainstream media to sit there and say that this, oh, well, there are good people on both sides. They're funding people on both sides, right? I mean, when you go through the numbers, it's not just that George Soros, through a bunch of these shady organizations, they're funneling money to a lot of these groups, whether it's the SJP, the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, Students for Justice in Palestine. But in some cases, I want to read you the direct quote, Steve, because it's worth hearing. One of the groups, the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, is paying people up to $7,800. Those are for community-based fellows. And around $3,000 for campus-based fellows who are expected to spend 8 hours per week organizing, quote, campaigns led by Palestinian organizations and are trained to, quote, rise up to revolution. I know you in the White House, your one regret was not going after the Muslim Brotherhood stronger, but this is something so much more sinister than just the Israel-Palestine debate. This is about fundamentally reorienting the global and economic world order so that America is no longer on top and these people have strong allies and strange bedfellows in the Chinese Communist Party, whether it's the mullahs in Iran or even frankly what's going on in Russia. And for the mainstream media to approach this how they're doing, that cold that you showed, shows you how they fundamentally are misdiagnosing the problem. But frankly, Steve, conservative media is misdiagnosing it too, because the issue here, do not miss the forest for the trees. This is not just an Israel-Palestine conflict. This is a broader neo-Marxist takeover that has been going on since the 50s with the Frankfurt School. You name it, it's ripped through this country. It's ripped through this institution. And now it's turning kinetic. You know why, Steve? Because no one on Capitol Hill, no Republicans want to do anything about it. The first thing that they should have done done when we won the majority was subpoena and go after Arabella Advisors, go after the Open Society Foundation, go after the Tides Foundation, go after these groups and spare me the stupid subcommittees exposing what China's going to do. We know what China wants to do. The Chinese Communist Party wants to take over the United States, infiltration, not invasion, with camps just like those that they're setting up on college campuses. We have feckless Republicans. Mike Johnson will go and give a horrible 10-minute speech saying, kumbaya, we need unity. We don't need unity. These people need to go in prison and throw away the keys because they're terrorists and they're traitors and they hate this country. And what's starting in college campuses is going to expand much further. I'd say just look at what the Frankfurt School has done to all of American culture, because that's what they're doing right now. It's starting with these stupid little tech camps on Columbia and Harvard and the University of Chicago, UT Austin, spreading to the lower tier schools. But it's going to come to a neighborhood near you, because these people have never been sufficient with just going after students and families in the nuclear family. It's always been a broader effort.
This is the point. This is why Fox is presenting this in some neocon fantasy land, right, which is not accurate. Mike Johnson's sitting up there with the Jewish Student Unions. That misses the point. Remember what David Horowitz, who was a communist at one time and a radical working with the Black Panthers, his that quote he tells us how they teach themselves. The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. This is a Marxist revolution. You have red-green. You have radical Sharia supremacist coupled with now with these neo-Marxist faculty. The problem is also not in the encampments. That is a problem. It has to be cleared out. The problem is in the faculty senate. The problem for the Jewish donors that want to cut it off, and that's not good enough. You now need to turn your money and weaponize it against the problem. The problem is the faculty senate that you've been funding for decades and decades and decades, and these feckless administrators. Before we go to break, can I play Anthony Blinken? The Hamas has played this. Now they got to get on their knees as a supplicant and beg Hamas to take a deal. It shouldn't be lost on you. The very tough right-wing Netanyahu government that committed to the Israeli people and said, hey, we can't exist with this. We have to take out four remaining combat brigades of Hamas and Rafah. And oh, by the way, the two combat brigades that are in Judea, Samaria, last time I looked, that was at full stop. It's at full stop because the mounting kinetic war on university campuses and the information war has backed down the Israeli IDF. This is clear to everyone. Right now, there shouldn't be any peace deal. There shouldn't be any ceasefire. There shouldn't be any hostage negotiation. I hate to be so hard on that, but if this is actually existential, and it is existential to the United States of America, because here you're seeing exactly what's manifesting itself in the Department of Justice with these Marxist radicals like Lisa Monaco, right, and Merrick Garland, and of course Colangelo, who's up there right now. Julie Kelly's going to walk you through an entire conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy, to take away the due process rights of Donald Trump and all his followers. And right now, you have the Biden regime is on bended knee with Netanyahu in this crowd, pleading with Hamas, pleading with these murderers to please take this ceasefire. You told us it was existential to get rid of the combat brigades, then get rid of them. You told us it was existential to get rid of them in Judea or Samaria, then get rid of them. The time for action is now. If you blink, these people are going to know you're weak. They're going to know you're indecisive. We must take action. Short break. Back in the war room in a moment. Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty. And that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold, and do it from Birch Gold. text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly. So we're looking to that, and I'm hopeful that they will make the right decision.
We're looking to them. You're just telling me the United States forced Israel to blink. It's either existential or it's not. And this whole thing about a ceasefire, because a ceasefire, once you do the ceasefire, you're not coming back to combat operations. That won't happen. The Biden regime and others in the media, and you're showing you're blinking to the protests on the campuses. That's the purpose of it, to get you to stand down. Natalie Winters, your thoughts?
Well, when we say that this, you know, critical theory, this neo-Marxist drivel really has affected everyone, I would say look no further than what Antony Blinken is saying there. He's a perfect example of that. And what I mean by that, juxtapose how they talk about Hamas, how they talk about actual terrorist organizations, with how they talk about fellow Americans, fellow patriots, whether it's the January 6th crew, whether it's Christian nationalists, or people who are just regular members of the MAGA movement. He seems to be able to find deference, frankly, for Hamas, but they are going to throw the book at Trump supporters. And Steve, when we say the word cultural revolution, because that is what we're seeing going on here, like I said, don't miss the forest for the trees. Hamas is just part of it. But I think there is a very important precursor event to the cultural revolution that happened in the 60s in China. And what I mean by that is the 100 Flowers campaign. And I know you know that, but it happened in the 50s, right? It was when Mao and his Chinese Communist Party comrades invited dissent under the fake pretense of just being able to sort of identify who the enemies of the state were. And I think that that is what they have tried to weaponize January 6th and more broadly the MAGA movement into. Right? When you see these indictments continuing to come out, whether it's Arizona, whether it's Georgia, New York, D.C., Florida, you name it, those are the people who dared to criticize the administrative state, dared to say that we need to defang and de-weaponize it. And look what's happening. So it shouldn't be lost on anyone that that lawfare, which is Chinese Communist Party inspired, don't get me wrong, is happening quite concurrently with what is going on at those encampments and college campuses. This is all part of a broader plan that has been in effect and frankly been being strategized for decades. And we're just hitting the point, whether it's mass immigration, whether it's the de-dollarization, where we're hitting that saturation point where the chickens are finally coming home to roost, the rubber is meeting the road, and you're seeing this neo-Marxist agenda, this full animosity towards America and all of the ideals that we stand for. Just look at the other organizations that George Soros funds. Frankly, they're probably more anti-America than Hamas is, right? But it's part of a much broader plan. So when Antony Blinken stands up there and says that, I'm not surprised. Probably just lead him to another board seat on Raytheon or Boeing once he steps down, unless the Trump administration sends him where he belongs, which is prison for treason.
Natalie, hang on for 1 second. I want to go to the other side of this Marxist revolution, and that's the lawfare part of it. Julie Kelly, we saw yesterday, and maybe we can play again later, maybe in the C block, the Maria Bartiromo blowing up Jim Jordan. We know people are frustrated. None of these investigations go anywhere. There's no investigation at all on a real basis on this criminal conspiracy. You, as an independent investigator, have done more work than all Capitol Hill combined on the situation in Florida and J6 and all of it. But walk me through the revelations you've got, these major revelations you've got coming out of the classified documents, because what you've been sending me is absolutely shocking.
So it just speaks to and demonstrates and proves, and these are unredacted motions, these are unsealed exhibits authorized by Judge Aileen Cannon in Southern Florida. She sees how dirty this case is, how it has been dirty from the beginning, and she is doing her part, as she says, to favor the side of transparency. She strongly believes that the American people deserve to see exactly what went down in this investigation, the indictment, and what's happened since. So what has been revealed in these mind-blowing court motions and exhibits is proof of, once again, Steve, close collaboration between the White House, between the Department of Justice, between longtime partisan bureaucrats like the National Archivist David Ferriero, who, by the way, called January 6th the worst day of his life. David Ferriero must have a pretty good life if January 6th was the worst day of his life. And most particularly, NARA's General Counsel Gary Stern, and how they were working with Biden White House first, the deputy counsel, Jonathan Sue, informally advising or seeking information and guidance from the Department of Justice to concoct and manufacture what initially looked like, Steve, a records destruction case, is what it looked like David Ferriero and others were piecing together, claiming that these records were missing, that boxes were missing, unidentified boxes, they couldn't really say what they were, and that David Ferriero was going to go to DOJ, he was going to go to the Hill, and he was going to the White House to tell them that Donald Trump destroyed presidential records. This is 5 or 6 months after Trump left office. Now, keep in mind the other thing that we just learned. There was some reporting on it that I missed at the time, but this was out of an FBI interview that Judge Cannon just unsealed, too, with another Mar-a-Lago witness, is that the GSA, GSA General Services Administration, they handled the transition. They had 6 pallets worth of boxes in a Virginia storage facility for 6 months. 2 of those pallets, about 2,000 pounds of boxes, these were all boxes, were transported to Mar-a-Lago in August of 2021. Now, who the hell knows what were in those boxes? Why were they kept there? Why, if NARA was looking for something, why didn't they just go down the street to Arlington, Virginia, and go look in a storage facility? So, and then, Steve, what I found today, I went to the White House visitor log, which is always a good place to go when you want to see who's seeing, who's zooming who. So we saw David Ferriero met with Dana Remus, who is was Joe Biden's chief counsel in the White House, met with her twice in September of 2021. Gary Stern met with Jonathan Sue, the deputy general counsel, at the White House. This is all happening at the White House in August of 2021. And then discovered today, Gary Stern again, the NARA general counsel, at the White House with Richard Sauber, who is Joe Biden's special counsel, top lawyer, with him the day before Jack Smith announces the criminal indictment against Donald Trump for classified documents. We've seen this story play out before, but now it's on steroids. Russiagate did not result in a criminal indictment against Donald Trump, no matter how hard they tried, but this actually did. And kudos to Judge Cannon. She sees how dirty this case is, what garbage evidence they have, how they have abused the grand jury process, how they have threatened lawyers and witnesses in this case. And she is doing her role in making sure that the American people understand what's been going on there.
Okay, I want to, you know, we had Mike Davis on the other day with you, and Mike was going through how you can tell by the questioning in the Supreme Court on both the situation in Colorado, on Fisher, on now immunity. You can tell the sharpness of the questions they're asking. You can actually derive from that, because he's a Supreme Court guy, that the court's had enough of this nonsense, and they're going to, this is why they're dealing with immunity now on Fisher. They've had it. And you, he says you can tell there's a building anger over there about how this is being handled, right? And they're going to put, they've already put their foot down on one. It looks like they're going to put their foot down on the other two. How do you know, for our audience, because you've been covering this closer than everybody, how do you know Judge Cannon, what is it, what empirical evidence do you see that shows that Judge Cannon, who's been vilified every night on MSNBC, what evidence do you see that she's had enough of this?
Well, first of all, because she's in the crosshairs of Andrew Weissman and MSNBC and Barbara McQuaid and all of the legal experts who are paid and organized every week in a conference call to figure out what their talking points are. So recall what Judge Cannon did in September of 2022 after the Mar-a-Lago raid. Donald Trump filed a lawsuit in Southern Florida. It landed on her desk seeking a special master, a third party to vet the 13,000 plus pieces of evidence that the FBI of Mar-a-Lago, and he made a very strong case. Well, Judge Cannon, to her credit, took a very bold move, and she did authorize the appointment of a special master, basically saying at the time to Jay Brett, who was the head of the investigation under DOJ, then transferred to Jack Smith's team in November of 2022, she basically flat out said, I don't trust the DOJ. And just because you're telling me these things, and she actually said in an order, just because the Department of Justice says it's true, does not mean that I have to believe it or the defendants have to believe it. So she appointed a retired judge to act as basically the filter team to figure out what really was evidence of a crime, what was personal and privileged material. Of course, they took a lot of that. And that really got her in the crosshairs on the enemies list of the corporate media. And that was overturned on appeal. But she is still doggedly going after this DOJ. And I'll tell you, the bad blood is really spilling out. And you can hear her, you can hear it when you're reading her orders. And I'll tell you a quick, and of course, I've been at the courthouse, as you know. I've been there three times in the past, whatever, two months. And you can sense the contempt that she has for Jay Brett, who's the lead prosecutor. And at one point during a hearing a few weeks ago, he was addressing her, and she stopped him and said, Mr. Brad, please don't say anything sarcastic. And he said, oh, Your Honor, I would never do that. And the look on her face, I'm surprised she didn't melt him. You know, he's 5'2". I think she could have easily just, you know, incinerated him with her, the look on her face. So there's really bad blood there spilling over, and she's fed up. And there's Steve, here's the thing. There's very few things she can do. Because this is a classified documents case, a lot of the hearings have to be sealed ex parte. The government can really run roughshod over what classified documents or sensitive national defense information they can keep from the defendants. But she's doing her part to make sure we see exactly what is going on there.
Julie, hang on. We got a lot more to go through with Julie Kelly about an outrage, a criminal conspiracy against President Donald J. Trump. Short break, back in a moment. Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have time to pack and to prepare. You need to get ready now. Before an emergency strikes, your supplies should be ready to grab and go right away. Secure these supplies right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with the four-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply, helping millions of Americans, and I mean millions of Americans, prepare. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply are experts in self-reliance and preparation. Their four-week emergency food kits offer over 2,000 calories every day. Protected by heavy-duty, four-layer packaging, these kits last up to 25 years. Let me repeat that, 25 years. Sealed inside rugged, handled buckets, they're made to grab and go quickly. Now go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save $50 right now per kit. They ship fast and they ship free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action on this today. Go over there. They're the best in the business. Talk to the consultants. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Look, I mean, at this point, American citizens are asking, what can you do about it? I mean, look, with all due respect, people are sick and tired of congressional investigations that go nowhere. People are sick and tired of letters being written and sent to the people who we know are bad in the first place. They want you to do something about it. You're an elected official. What can you do to right these wrongs?
Well, we've passed legislation out of the committee that would help remedy this situation, particularly the one in New York. But the president or vice president can move a case to federal court from when you do these state prosecutors who are going after someone for a political reason. So we're a legislative branch. We can't put anyone in jail. And I don't think the Biden administration, their DOJ is going to go after the people who need to go after. You're just not going to get that from Merrick Garland. I mean, I asked the question a couple weeks ago, we don't know from the Biden administration who planted the pipe bombs on January 6th, who leaked the Dobbs draft opinion, the one that led to an assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh, who put cocaine in the White House. We don't seem to get the answers to those questions. But, oh, you can have someone from the Biden Justice Department like Jack Smith go after President Trump. You can have the DOJ say we're going to investigate parents who show up at school board meetings. You can have the Richmond FBI say, oh, if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist. So they got time for all that, but they can't answer some fundamental questions that I think the American people would like to get answers to.
Well, our job
is to get the facts out there and to look at legislation. We can't prosecute anyone, only the DOJ can. And frankly, the Biden DOJ is just not going to do it.
Okay, welcome back. Julie Kelly rebooting her computer. I want to go to Natalie. Look, you got to go. Maria Bartiromo is as good as they get. She's pure MAGA. But she works within the constraints of Murdoch News. You got to go pretty far in the woods to hit her tripwire, and they hit it yesterday. Natalie, what was Jordan's response? Well, what do you make of that word salad?
Yeah, word salad is probably the best way to describe it. It's because they have really nothing to show for it, despite having all the hearings. I'm sure the Warren posse remembers the just absolutely horrific Biden impeachment inquiry where they brought in witnesses who, frankly, I think most of the guests we have on War Room are probably more well-versed in the myriad of crimes that the Biden crime family has committed. But these are the same people who they want to sit there and say, oh, well, we can't throw these people in jail. We need to wait for President Trump to come back. We need to take over 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Until then, too bad, so sad. There's nothing to do. That's not the fighting spirit, right? We talk about wanting to have winter soldiers here in the War Room. And you just, frankly, you don't see it. Even from Jim Jordan, I think the problem honestly goes down to the staffers. I think we see it, you know, when you look at who's staffing Mike Johnson. These are people who are members of the swamp. They are people who do not want to bite the hand that feeds them. They want to stay in sort of the ecosystem that is Washington, D.C. politics. They want to get their lobbying gigs afterwards. So they're not going to go after the issue itself. It's purely performative. And frankly, I think why you've seen some shift in these people actually getting called out is because it used to be only Fox News that was sort of setting the goalposts. Posts, right, on what constituted success for Republican Congress. And they would just throw red meat to the base. And we should applaud the fact that they created a committee on the weaponization of government. But who cares about hearings and committees if they're not actually doing anything? And frankly, it's much sinister than not doing anything. I would take not doing anything over giving the FBI and DOJ millions, if not billions of dollars to open up new headquarters, continuing to fund these operations. So they have nothing to show for it. And unfortunately, you know, they're not really making a strong case as to why they should hold the House. And I think it goes back to sort of the, I would say, original sin that was what propped up this show and, frankly, your whole media career from the beginning, that most Republicans don't actually want to fight to save America. They're not actually America first. That's heresy in the Republican Party. There's a few people we can count, you know, with one hand, but it's purely performative. And for long enough, they've gotten away with giving red meat to the base. Thank God for programs like War Room and Real America's Voice that are shifting those goalposts. But you know it's a bad day when even Fox News is calling you out and calling your bluff.
Julie Kelly rejoins us now. Julie, why are you, Mike Davis has got a little thing going, right? It punches way above his weight. You're an independent investigative journalist. You've done all the reporting and investigation on the J6 trials. Now you're showing, do you believe in what you found in the unredacted filings that Judge Cannon has put out for transparency? Do you believe you've seen the outline of a criminal conspiracy against President Trump on this classified documents, ma'am?
Yes, without question. It was an entrapment operation is what it was. And they were using their power, unchecked authority again, their cutouts at NARA to try to make it look legit while they were working hand in glove with DOJ, the Deputy Attorney General's office. You just brought up her name, Lisa Monaco. and, of course, his top lawyers, Dana Remus, Richard Sauber, and Jonathan Suh. I mean, why do you have NARA officials going to the White House when they are allegedly supposed to be an independent agency attempting to get back government records? Why are you going to the White House so many times? Why are there all of these emails back and forth between NARA and Jonathan Suh? Why is Jonathan Suh trying to tell the National Archives how to circumvent the automatic notification process? Because, of course, these records are usually years before anyone can get their hands on them. But because the J6 committee and NARA demanded, you know, they concocted this excuse to try to go after Trump, they were trying to figure out how to not let Trump know that the Biden White House wanted NARA, and of course then denied his executive privilege claims. Then you fast forward to early 2022, after the boxes are turned over, and then you have officials from the Deputy Attorney General's office advising NARA how to put together a criminal referral. You know why, Steve? Because NARA's never done a criminal referral before. They've never sent a criminal referral to the DOJ ever. This was the first time. And NARA has no enforcement powers. I've heard this in court, and I just heard David Ferriero say it again. They don't have enforcement powers under the Presidential Records Act. He was trying then to use the Federal Records Act to compel the production of these alleged boxes. Well, Donald Trump is separate. The Federal Records Act is separate than the Presidential Records Act. So there definitely are. Now we have all of the dots to connect. And that is something that I do think House Republicans should demand and must demand to get all of the correspondence and get David Ferriero, not just in front of a committee. I would really love to see public hearings. I really want to see these officials testify before the American public, like we saw time after time with the J6 committee. Watch David Ferriero squirm when he's asked about his correspondence with the White House and Department of Justice, or Gary Stern, NARA's general counsel. Why were you speaking with Jonathan Suh? Why did you meet with him in August of 2021? Why were you at Richard Sauber, Biden's special counsel, closest lawyer, really? Why were you having lunch with him the day before Jack Smith announced his criminal indictment on classified documents? What is all of this about? So they need to start connecting those dots and use whatever authority. And look, there is limited authority. They can't prosecute anyone.
No, but they can make criminal referral. First off, you can put it in front of the American people and show exactly what's going on and give support for President Trump and others that will file civil rights violations of cases. There's so much they can do. Look, there's a buried lead here, and I want to make sure everybody understands it. If they feared Republican oversight, if they respected the Republicans that were basically competent or interested in doing their job, they wouldn't have had all these meetings. They would have said, well, hold it. This is going to be eventually, we're going to be outed. Let's be even quieter. They're up in your grill for this because they understand the Republicans won't do anything.
That's right.
What do you think? This thing is right up in your face. They don't respect them, and they show they don't respect them by how they do it. And here's why they don't respect them. We are months into this, and Julie Kelly is staying up all night doing this work. It shouldn't be Julie Kelly's responsibility. She's doing it because she's a patriot and she's a citizen. Where in the hell are the people on Capitol Hill whose jobs is? And we're going to start outing. Let me tell you this now. Every one of you scummy staffers that are not doing your job, everybody on Jordan's team, everybody in those committees, everybody on Johnson's team, you people are an abomination. The problem we have is nobody respects you. They understand you're just controlled opposition. When Maria Bartiromo blows up on Jim Jordan, Fox Golden Boy, right? This is outrageous. And the 300-page report, and now what Julie Kelly's doing, show you everything. They were suppressing a report they did. They should have put it out on the eve of the trial in New York City so we could frame what this is about. They didn't. They suppressed it. The question is, why did they suppress it? Why are they leaving Donald Trump out on a limb? And why is it Julie Kelly grinding every night to find out what's going on here? Because the judge is telling you, look at this. She can't go to Congress and say, hey, guys, on top of this. Right. They're supposed to be on top of it, and they're not for a reason. And the reason is they're part of the fix. They want Trump gone, and they can't sit there and tell me, oh, no, we're working so hard, we're doing it. No, you're not. You're liars. For every staffer that doesn't start leaking stuff to us, your name, we're going to make all you guys infamous. This is outrageous what you've done. This is Republic ending. Julie Kelly.
What do I say after that? Well, it's frustrating. And I've only heard from one Republican congressman since I started posting all of this information, just one. I have not heard from staff, certainly the top staff with these high level committees. And so, but to your point, Steve, that's the frustrating part. They know, and they are preying on the weakness. They are mocking the weakness of Republican leadership by throwing this in our face and knowing that they won't do anything about it. And there just needs to be not more letters, more backdoor transcribed interviews where we're not seeing these people in public be publicly accountable. I don't understand what the hesitancy is for that. David Ferriero is now in the private sector. He left. There's no protection for him as to why he should not be forced to publicly testify along with other officials as to their close collaboration with the Biden White House to entrap Donald Trump and his two co-defendants as well.
The RNC is not doing anything. The Trump campaign's not doing anything. The House is not doing anything. Donald Trump's out on a limb, and they're sawing it off in back of him. So if nobody else is going to do it, then we're going to do it. And I'm telling the staff right now, we're going to make every one of you people infamous. You either do your job or you're going to report to the War Room posse and let them get up in your grill. This is outrageous what's happening. And you've got a brave federal judge who gets freaking hammered every night on MSNBC. Yes, and by the way, all the people, all the lawyers, all these phony DOJ lawyers are all making bank over at MSNBC. Preserve your documents, because I guarantee you there are going to be suits and there are going to be criminal investigations and there are going to be grand juries. And all of you guys from Weissman all the way down are going to get rolled up in it, too. That is going to happen. Julie, where do people go to find out all this stuff you're putting up on this? Since the staffs on the Hill are too gutless and cowering in the corner, where can this audience go to get all your information, ma'am?
Well, thank you, Steve, for covering all my work. So grateful. So I'm at Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly. You can become a free or paid subscriber. Also, I post constantly, as you know, on Twitter, X, Julie_Kelly2. And I'm also a contributor to Real Clear Investigations right now, working on an in-depth piece for them that sets out this timeline, the players involved, and you know, how this all came together in 2021 and 22.
Julie, if we didn't have you and Mike Davis and a couple other people, I don't know where we'd be. I don't know where we'd be right now. No, you saw in Maria Bartiromo, you saw the frustration. She's as MAGA as you get. She understands the constraints she has to work under, but she just blew up on Jordan yesterday.
Well, you know, Fox News.
You know, go to go on Hannity tonight. Go on to Hannity tonight and give some happiness. Fox will never have you on because you've got the receipts. Right. Of course they're not.
It's okay. I'd rather be here.
Julie, you're a patriot and a hero. We'd rather have you here. Short commercial break. Natalie, we've got a very big surprise. Nolan Chang is going to join us for a big announcement. Short break. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, for these staffs over there, it looks real simple. You either got to take action or we're going to have to go there. I don't want to do that. We want to spend our time on more things. We would love to be supportive. We're not trying to be jerks, but the country's in a crisis and you have to start dealing with it as a crisis. It's not going to be business as usual. We are not going to just sit there and passively go along as controlled opposition like you are. So you're either going to do your job or we're going to force you to do your job. Very simple. Natalie, your social media, we'll have you back on tomorrow to go through this because this is bigger about who's funding it, the source people on the riots, also the funding of all this, of behind the scenes of what's going on the criminal conspiracy against Donald Trump that the Republican Party in Capitol Hill refuses to do any work about. Well, they'll do a 300-page report, but they'll suppress it and not even put it up on the eve of the trial. Where do people get to you, Natalie?
Natalie G. Winters on all social media platforms.
Natalie, thank you for doing this today, and thank you for being the hammer you are. Thank God. Thank God we got people like Julie Kelly. Thank God this country's got people like Natalie Winters, Julie Kelly, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Davis, people who will not back down on this at all. Thank you. Nolan Chang, another one. Nolan and Sherry Chang, two hammers from Hawaii. Nolan, you put the fear in God of the Republican establishment out there. Tell me what you're running for, and when is the vote going to be?
Yes, sir. I'm running for the Hawaii Republican Party National Committeeman position or seat. And the vote takes place on May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. It's right around the corner.
Nolan, tell me about real quickly. You've raised a couple of boys up to be upright young men. Tell me about your sons.
One of them, his dream job is to become a scout, start off as a scout in the National Football League. And he's getting real close to getting into the National Football League. My other two sons are officers in the United States Army. One of them just was awarded Hero of the Battle, one of their exercises a few months ago. So I'm very proud of them, sir. Very proud, Steve. True patriots, true Americans.
Two boys in the Army. True American. Two boys in the Army, and then one associated with the National Football League. Why do you want to be, and why should Republicans in Hawaii who feel their voices not heard, why should they select you for national committeeman, sir?
Yes, sir. I bring a lot of skills to the table. As you know, Steve, I worked in Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard for 39 years. About every 7 years, I changed vocation. So I was a master nuclear instructor. I worked in the quality control office for a number of years. That job took me to Japan. I specialized in strategic planning. I built strategic plans for the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force. I was selected to work and run the apprenticeship program in Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard. And I also spent the last 7-8 years of my career as a deputy congressional and public affairs officer. And so throughout the 39 years, I picked up a variety of skills. What I bring to the table is senior leadership and management experience, lobbying, liaison expertise, strategic thinking and strategic planning expertise. I would say statesmanship. Because of all my experience, right, all of our lobbying experience, I forgot to mention that I was also a member of the Federal Managers Association. We were the lobbying arm for the shipyard, the political action team for the shipyard when the government was trying to shut the shipyard down. So I picked up a lot of experience there. I'm also the senior, East Regional Vice Chair for the Republican Party. And so I have a lot of grassroots experience.
It's the grassroots feel. You and Sherry are two of the best voices I've ever seen in fighters for the grassroots movement. Are the grassroots appropriately represented in the Republican Party out there, particularly at the national committeeman level?
Not really. You know, we're getting better. We need to build up our membership, and we're working very hard at doing that. There's been a change in our leadership in our state executive committee. You know, we had some problems in the past, but we're pulling everything together, doing a great job leading us where we need to go. A lot of work to do. We're not where we need to be. A lot of work to do. But at that grassroots level, we still need big improvement in that area. And I'm working as hard as I can as a regional vice chair to do that.
Nolan, where do people go get more information? How can they give you support for this big vote that's going to take place, I think, this Saturday, right, 4 May?
Yes, sir. So I'll be coming out with an email blast to all the delegates that are going to be attending the state convention on Saturday. So they'll be getting information from me. I'll be sending my flyer out, probably this video as well, to let them know that I'm there for them. My motto for this election is Chang for Change. And I got that model from one of the posse members. I owe him a plate lunch. Chang for change. And so I tell all the people in Hawaii that if you want transparency at the RNC level, vote Chang for change. If you want a voice at the RNC, vote Chang for change. If you want a delegate, an advocate at the RNC, vote Chang for change. If you want best practices and lessons learned, vote Chang for change. If you want the Hawaii Republican Party to align with the RNC, vote Chang for change. And most importantly, people in Hawaii know me, the Republican Party, as the peacemaker. If you want unity and harmony in the Hawaii Republican Party, vote Chang for change. And so, Steve, we're at a crossroads right now. We're at an inflection point. A lot of our members out there in Hawaii and nationwide, people in the posse, some of you may be sitting on that fence. Well, it's time to get off of that fence and jump into the battle, put that armor of God on, right, and help fight the battle. That's why I intend, that's what I intend to do at the national level if I'm elected on Saturday. Represent the people, represent the voice of the people, and help our country in any way we can. Posse members, let's go, baby. We can do this. Let's fight. Let's battle. Let's man the ramparts.
It is when you're elected on Saturday. No, Nolan Chang, Chang for Change. I love it. Sir, thank you very much. You are pumped up. This is why I love you and Sherry. Thank you, brother. A huge vote out there in Hawaii this Saturday. Nolan Chang, a real warrior. Mike Lindell, people want to know about deals. We got about a minute and 30. What do you got for us?
Well, this is exclusive to the War Room Posse. You all know about the MyPillow 2.0. Well, we're giving you one absolutely free. You just pay shipping and handling. This is the one we're making now. It's our multi-use MyPillow 2.0. There you see me laying on a lounger there. No purchase necessary, $39.98 value. But if you decide to buy other things while you're there, remember the War Room code gets you discounts on all our products at MyPillow.com. But I want everyone to try this multi-use MyPillow 2.0. Then you'll know what it's all about, why we've sold millions upon millions of products, over 84 million MyPillows sold. There's the MyPillow 2.0, the bed pillows. You can buy one, get one free. All of the products are the dish towels, everything. While you're there, go ahead and get those discounts. But in the meantime, get your free multi-use MyPillow 2.0, Steve, the most amazing pillow, just got even better. That's that cooling technology, 100% made in the USA. This is the reason the War Room's got MyPillow, my factory, at full capacity. I'm back here in Minnesota. They're all working overtime. This is our gift to all of you. This is exclusive to the War Room. Free MyPillow 2.0s.
Wow. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Okay, next up, we're going to go to Jeremy Carl, the unprotected class.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt. And that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first. Chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today, check it out.